Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Grand Radio Network. Pro football full circle.
It's probably the hungriest team that I've ever been around, honestly, just because we have been so close a number of times now. So I feel like everybody in the back of their mind, they know how reachable it is and realistic that we are to, you know, get into that final step. I think it kind of a little bit of a wake-up call to people just how good we actually are.
We don't feel pressure. Feel that I get with the energy in the locker room is not pressure, it's focus. I really do. I think it's the right perspective and the right type of focus.
Oh, there is no tomorrow. The NFL season is here. We are locked and loaded right here on Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204. Going to be breaking down all the games for week number one. A lot to get into tonight, including that battle in Tampa Bay between Dallas and the Buccaneers. Which team will prevail later today? But, George, I got to be honest with you. A lot of games this coming weekend, and a couple of games under the radar, per se. We have that battle in Cincinnati between Joe Burrow and the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota right now a 3-point favorite on FanDuel. Kyle Shanahan still mum on the quarterback situation in San Fran, although many believe it will be Jimmy Garoppolo on the road in Detroit as a 7.5-point favorite. But for you, any game that really stands out above the rest, the one that really, for me, week number one, is that Kansas City-Cleveland battle.
Yeah, that's the one most of us want to see, right? We know Kansas City is one of the favorites to make the Super Bowl from the AFC, maybe the best team in the NFL. Cleveland, we think, is that next up-and-coming team that could truly challenge them. And Cleveland probably should have beaten them in the playoff game last year, if not for a couple of bad breaks there, letting Chad Henne convert that fourth down. I forget who the receiver was who tried to reach towards the end zone with the football and fumbled it into to the end zone for a touchback there. So that's probably the main game for me. This is Seattle, Indianapolis holds some interest to me as well because I want to see what Carson Wentz can do. You know, he's going to start. I want to see how he's going to be able to play. And as for San Fran, by the way, Jimmy Garoppolo let it out of the bag yesterday that he is starting, and which is, everybody knew that anyway. Trey Lance is not practicing right now due to the injury. So I want to see how all the rookie quarterbacks, how they look.
Yeah, me too. And Sam Darnold goes off on his old team in terms of the New York Jets. Zach Wilson there. They're a 5.5-point underdog in Carolina this coming weekend. But I guess the biggest thing for me is in terms of the Shanahan situation. Obviously, Kyle knows, right? Trey Lance isn't practicing right now. He's got the finger issue. Why not just say Jimmy Graps is our guy? Why does he have to be so coy in terms of that? Detroit knows that they're preparing for Jimmy Garoppolo. There's no way Trey Lance is going to start this game. Why not back your starter, especially week one when there's so much uncertainty in terms of the quarterback situation when you drafted Trey Lance? Why can't he go all in with Jimmy Garoppolo heading into this matchup?
Yes, Jenny was a bit of a jerk during the news conference yesterday. I'm tired of you guys asking me this stuff like that. I mean, what do you think they're going to ask? When you haven't named the starting quarterback, what do you think they're going to ask? It's what everybody wants to know. And like I said, we all know it's Garoppolo. We knew it anyway. The only really question is, will Lance be able to be the backup, you know, due to the injury here? That was the only question here. He was limited in practice yesterday with the finger injury. So it is what it is. It's Garoppolo starting. Will Lance play? Sure. The only question is when. I do believe out of the five rookie quarterbacks, Lawrence, Wilson, Jones, Fields, Lance, that Lance will now be the last one to start due to this injury setting him back a little bit. And I believe, as you pointed out on this show, San Fran has a nice, soft opening schedule. And if they go, 3-0, 4-1, it's hard to make that change away from Garoppolo. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I agree, and I think there's a good shot, believe it or not, Trey Lance doesn't play a down in terms of starting for the San Francisco 49ers if Jimmy Graps has that team, especially on a roll and leading the NFC West. So we'll see how that plays out this coming weekend along with the rest of the way for 2021. I guess if there is a team that has a lot to prove, in my opinion, it is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Are they for real this year? Is Big Ben healthy? They get a very difficult test, one of the toughest teams, not just in the AFC, but in all of the NFL in terms of the Buffalo Bills. They dropped this ball game last year, 26-15. I mean, they're a 6.5-point underdog, but they have a lot to prove, even though they stepped up in the preseason.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Pittsburgh is a little bit of a mess, right? The offensive line saw a little disjointed. Ben Roethlisberger admitted a few weeks ago that that might take a couple of games, a couple of weeks to really figure itself out. Watt only yesterday started participating in team drills. He wants a better contract, a new contract, whatever you want to look at it there, and he certainly deserves to be paid. And then you bring up Ben. Yeah, we don't know. You know, I think my belief is this. I think the arm will look good in the early part of the year, and it's going to get worse and worse each week from your overuse. And eventually he'll be noodle-armed again, where throwing the ball in rougher weather will be tough. I think throwing he'll be okay on Sunday, but that's not a good matchup for him. Granted, I believe when Pittsburgh and Buffalo played last year, I think it was played in a monsoon. It was raining pretty well there, so you can give Pittsburgh a break there. But I don't expect this game to go Pittsburgh's way.
Yeah, I think that's one of my stronger plays for the weekend, and we'll break it down over the next couple of days in terms of best bets, best player props. We have it all for you over the next few days heading into week number one. When you just look at the line movement right now, George, couple of games of interest. Obviously, that game between Green Bay and New Orleans now. Green Bay was, for the most part, a 2.5-point favorite much of the offseason. Now, as we inch closer to the weekend, 3.5 points, minus 113 on FanDuel. The Denver Broncos, 3-point favorites at plus 100 over the New York Giants. And that Cleveland Brown game, Kansas City only a short favorite at minus 5.5. When we come back, we'll be breaking down week one. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, breaking down all the week one action. We're going to talk about this Dallas-Tampa Bay game a little bit in terms of a macro type of sentiment, George. Obviously, how about them Cowboys? You would love to relive the days of the early 90s with Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones, Michael Irvin, Troy Aikman, but it's been a long time coming, right? It's been a long time since Dallas made the Super Bowl. But their sights set on a possible division title, 9.5 in terms of FanDuel, and more importantly, a playoff appearance. As long as Dak Prescott is healthy, he's locked and ready, he has the playmakers around him to carry this team to a division title, a playoff appearance, and then it's anybody's game. But when you look at this game against Tampa Bay from a big picture, assuming they lose this matchup, as a Cowboy fan, what do you want to see in this ballgame? Do you want to see the defense step up, or do you want to see Dak Prescott toss for 400 yards?
Well, I think you'd be thrilled if Dak Prescott tore the 400 yards, because it means, hey, he's back. So that's the first most important thing, right? That Dak is back, looks good. I do expect him to have some rust for us at some point in this game, because he hasn't played since week 5 of last season, because he didn't play in the preseason, because really nobody played in the preseason. You know, Ezekiel Elliott didn't play in the preseason. You know, I think the offensive line, their best offensive player. Now, that's not true. I guess maybe they're one of the most important offensive players, but their best offensive player is Dak Prescott. He's their most important. He has to play us. Dallas doesn't matter who the offensive line is. If you put Hall of Five Hall of Famers there, it wouldn't matter. So, curious to you about all this. It's also important for me, Dak Prescott, let's see you play well against a good team. I don't expect the Cowboys to win tonight. I think they're running into a buzzsaw here. Yeah, I think it's going to be very tough to win, in Tampa Bay, Super Bowl champions, everything that goes along with it. Great team that Tampa is. But let's see you play well against a team that we think is going to make the playoffs and get rid of some of that stigma from the last time you had a full season where you were awful against playoff teams.
I can understand
that. You were awful last year against the Rams. So let's see Dak play well against a good team.
Well, I'll say this in terms of what I would like to see out of this matchup. I want to see the physicality. If the physicality is there with Micah Parsons in that defense, I think you might have a contender on your team. You know, as long as that offensive line can show continuity without Zach Martin and they can run the football consistently and you could stay in manageable third down situations and you can run it on that front seven when you have to, that's a positive sign. But on the flip side, if that defense shows some blue-collar work ethic, if they could be a hat on a hat, as they say, and fly into the ball carrier, not allow Fournette, not allow Ronald Jones to get yards after contact, in terms of the running game, I think that's a great start. Win, lose, or draw, it doesn't matter. If that's what you get in terms of that week one environment, I think that's a step in the positive direction for Mike McCarthy and the crew. They did not have an identity last year. Once Dak went down, this team folded offensively. They folded defensively. There was nobody that said, I'm the leader of this team. Maybe Micah Parsons can be that factor, that young gun that says, you know what? I'm willing to carry this defense on my back.
I do think Mike is going to give them a big lift because of what you said. The speed he has. I think he'll be involved in almost every defensive play because he'll be there. So I think that will be give a lift to the team. I think if you're a Cowboy fan, I am, you're sort of banking on that they're right, that it wasn't the player's fault last year. It was the coach's fault, the scheme's fault, and everything else that went along with that. Maybe the fact that there were no mini camps, truncated training camp, and they'll play better. Because that defense, if it's as awful as it was last year, then this nothing's going to matter. I don't care how good the offense is. You can play a lot of exciting games, but you're not going to be winning, playing with Chargers football, Air Coryell, the late 70s, early 80s here with Dan Fouts and company there.
Dan Fouts, right? And Kellen Winslow, right?
Right. It was fun to watch. Fun to watch. J.J. Jefferson going up and catching passes there. You know, loved it. But that's going to be very difficult to do week in and week out here. They need that defense to improve. And it's going to be important for, DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory. Get to that quarterback. Make them uncomfortable.
Yeah, we're going to see. We're going to see how this defense plays out over the course of the year. I said for me, in terms of the matchup as a whole, I look to the running game of Tampa Bay going up against the front seven of Dallas. That's the matchup that I want to see. Everybody's talking Zeke. Everybody's talking Tony Pollard and Dak Prescott. I understand that type of breakdown. But if you follow Tampa Bay at the end of the year when they became that contender, it wasn't so much Tom Brady. Yes, he was putting up yards. He did hit Brady. He did hit Gronk and Godwin in terms of the Green Bay game. I get that, but it was the rushing attack. It was the rushing attack and the continuity of the offensive line that allowed Fournette to move the chains. Leonard Fournette carried this team basically on his back to the Super Bowl, and still with Rojo and Leonard Fournette, they pounded the rock on that Kansas City front seven for over 5 yards per carry. So that's the matchup that I'm really most intrigued on, and is can Tampa Bay run on that front seven? If they can, it's the same thing early on for the Dallas defense. I would take a shot here. I would take Dallas plus the 8.5. And I, you know what? Don't be shocked. I'm saying it right now. Plus 360 on the money line for a week one Thursday night game, I'll take it any day of the week.
And especially on Thursdays. Listen, I was on Tampa Bay, but this is you and I have been talking about this game for what, a couple of months now. I got Tampa Bay minus 6.5. That's how much the line has gone up here. So everybody and their mother's on Tampa Bay tonight. I think it's going to be pretty much a blowout. I think it's the highest spread for Week One, 8.5. Yeah. I wouldn't take Tampa Bay now. Tampa Bay, that's too much. I don't think I would take Dallas either. If you're betting now, I'm probably leaving the game alone. I think Dallas could cover the spread where it's one of those games where the outcome was never in doubt. Let's just say 34-20, but Dallas gets a late garbage time touchdown. It ends 34-27. Okay. They cover the spread. There you go. That wouldn't shock me at all as far as a final score tonight. I am still on the over.
Well, key indicators when Cowboy fans think that their team has no shot, more times than not, they probably do. So we'll see how this game plays out in Tampa a little bit later. Let's turn our attention to that battle in Indianapolis. You mentioned Carson Wentz. He's back in action. You have the Frank Reich there, his former offensive coordinator. This line has jumped around a little bit due to the injuries early in terms of the preseason. Seattle, for much of the summer, was a 2.5-point favorite. Now up to 3 here on FanDuel, minus 110 either way. Total, right in that 50.5, 51 area. I still go with the better quarterback. I think this is a blowout special. You might think I'm nuts. T.Y. Hilton's banged up. I'm not sold on terms of the offensive line. With Nelson, is he in? Is he out? Is he good? Is this offensive line going to rally without him? I don't care. I'm going with Russell Wilson. I'm going with the better quarterback in this matchup. I know it seems fishy, but -3 on the road, I think they win this ball game by 7 or more.
I don't think you're nuts at all. I'm with you on Seattle. I think Indianapolis is a lot like Dallas. Could be a little rusty coming out. Only difference is they're playing at home. That's the only difference from the really, as far as two teams are concerned. You mentioned Nelson. I think they're both going to play. Hilton's not, but I think they're going to be a little rusty coming out. They're playing a good team. A team that generally does travel well, by the way, Seattle. I know it's in the, Indianapolis is not going to the East Coast, but still, it's a travel early game. But I think Seattle does fine here. I think they cover this as well. I'm on the under here as well. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I don't think it's going to be a 31-30 game. I think it's going to be more along the lines of 24-21, somewhere around there, 27-21. It'll be like the high end for me. So I think the only way this game gets over is you get unlucky with turnovers. And you get, returns for touchdowns, stuff like that. I think this is an under, and give me Seattle.
See, I would lean that way in terms of this matchup. But if you're Seattle and you can run the football with Carson, most likely you're going to get that under, right? It really comes down to the front seven of Indianapolis. Are they going to force Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf to beat them over the top? They're going to take away the running game first and say, okay, Russell Wilson, let's see if you can at least catch lightning in a bottle on the road, because he struggled. I mentioned it before. In his last 8 games of the year, Russell Wilson did not throw for over 265 yards, which, if you think about it, in today's NFL is a light number compared to what he did for the first 8 games of the season last year.
Yeah, I think what's going to do, we have a different OC now in Seattle, so I think they can open the offense up more. I think they're going to let Russell cook, let him play. I think they're going to let the league show. Yeah, we know he's the best player now. We haven't really shown him. We're going to let him loose this season. So I think they're going to be fine with Russell Wilson this year.
When we come back, we'll be breaking down that battle in Cincinnati. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings on the road to face Broadway Joe Burrow and the crew. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sam. You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the conversation of week one breakdowns, we're going to turn our attention to the battle in Cincinnati. Mike Zimmer, Minnesota Vikings head coach, was one of the top coaches to be fired in the preseason. He had like plus 1,000 odds, 1,001 in terms of a $100 bet, 10-1 on most books. Zach Taylor was there as well, a 7-1 shot. I couldn't believe that Zimmer would be over Zach Taylor. I think Zach Taylor is one of the worst head coaches in the NFL. He's done less with more than any other head coach. He shouldn't even be a coordinator in the NFL, let alone a head coach for Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. That being said, Ja'Marr Chase came out today, George, and said that the reason why he's dropping so many passes is that the NFL ball is, he can't locate it. It's too big. I don't understand what he's talking about, number one, because in the college game, ball's a little bit smaller. You have the stripes. We get that. But we talked about Jameis Winston with LASIK. Maybe Ja'Marr Chase should look into an eye doctor over the next couple of weeks.
That is a first for me to ever hear a player say the ball is too big and that's why he can't catch it. All right, I've never heard
about that
before. Never.
I don't know.
If you would have said it doesn't have the white stripes, I can't see the stripe. All right, I could sort of buy that. But come on, man, the ball. Oh God, catch the ball. Really, catch the ball. I don't want to hear it. Catch the damn thing. It's too big. That's a first here. You know, it's funny. I was hanging out with Mike Blewett last week at a fantasy draft of his.
Who's that? And I'm just kidding.
I think he's your co-host on Football Full Circle on weekends. Well, he used to be, right? Now we're in game live there. But I brought up Zach Taylor. I'm like, that sounds like word. Give me word association. Zach Taylor. First thing he said was Joe Lisi hates him. I'm like, that's what I was
that
going
I
for.
Just hate him. If he would win money, I mean, he's a coach that he just doesn't make halftime adjustments. We talk about it in the college game all the time. In the NFL, you just can't lay up like Tin Cup. You need to adjust as the game progresses. I don't feel like he does that in any capacity.
Yeah, he's definitely not on your Christmas card list. You know, I understand that. Listen, I agree with you. I joke around, but I agree with you. I think he's certainly one of the first coaches to get fired. I think if you're playing in that little prop bet somewhere, you know, take a choice. Him, Fangio, Nagy, I think any of the three of them are going to go. I think they're all awful for different reasons here. I think mainly for Fangio and Nagy, they're just stuck in more 80s, 90s football. I think, Taylor just made... You know, he may take the tee off stuck and you get what he is. So it is what it is there. I'm looking forward to this game, though, because, listen, I don't think Cincinnati has much of a defense. So I think they're going to play a lot of high scoring. They're going to be a fun team to watch with that offense. I hope Chase can see the ball on Sunday. You know, so that'll be interesting there. Minnesota, I think, is a very good all-around team. I want to see if Justin Jefferson could do it again. That's what I think. I think it's going to be a very good game. I think it may be closer than we think here. But I do think Minnesota wins it in the end.
Well, I'm looking for player props, at least on FanDuel. They don't have them entering this battle just yet. But I am a little intrigued in terms of the line movement in this game. Now, this line over the summer did inch up to around 4. That was when we weren't sure about Joe Burrow. It got up to like 3.5 for much of the summer, inched up to 4, and then they bought it back down. Now, over the past week, it settled in around 3, minus 110 either way. I'm using FanDuel right now, but chop around, obviously. The bigger question for me is that this line was over 48. It was 48.5 for the total for basically a month and a half. I mean, it did not move. And now we start to see money and movement on the under here because it's 47.5 heading into game day, minus 115 to the under. And I try to play this game out, and I'm like, you have Joe Burrow. You have the weapons of Boyd. You have Higgins there. Okay, Chase is dropping the ball, but he's still a legitimate deep threat, right? You have the rushing game. We know about Cincinnati's weakness on defense. And then on the flip side, we have Cousins, Jefferson, Thielen, and my guy, Dalvin Cook, who I'm still all in at 75-1 to win the NFL MVP. This has over screaming over it. So what am I missing when I break this game down? Because it seems like all the money's coming in right now on a lower scoring game.
I think people don't quite believe in the Bengals offense for whatever reason. Maybe they're worried about the offensive line, that Minnesota's going to be able to, you know, be a train wreck in that the backfield and force Burrow to throw short, or not throw at all, contain Mixon. I also think they might think the Minnesota, remember, Minnesota is not, Zimmer wants to run the football. He wants to run the football. He doesn't want to put the ball in the air unless he really has to. That's why he fired the OC a couple of years ago because he thought that they were throwing the ball too much. I think that's why he thought they didn't make the playoffs here. So that could be that as well, a combination of those. I'm sort of with you. I think game goes over. I think it's higher scoring than we think. I think it sort of has to be. I think most Bengal games, if they didn't have a chance, have to be higher scoring because they're not going to hold too many teams down. But I'm thinking with Dalvin Cook, they're going to make this a short game. Yeah, just make it a short game, a time kill clock game. I can see that being right. It wouldn't shock me if Dalvin Cook goes for 180 on Sunday. It wouldn't shock me at all. 182 touchdowns, and Minnesota holds the ball for 38 minutes. None of this surprises me.
Right. Yeah, I still lean to Minnesota. I think they're a dominant effort here. I think, call me crazy, and you wouldn't be the first. At the end of the day, I'm all in on the Minnesota Vikings. You know it. The world knows it. I've been on this network screaming that the Minnesota Vikings, to me, are the team to beat in the division, not Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. You want to set an 8.5 win total, juice it to the over at minus 160. That's fine. I'll take the 8.5. I'll take the 9, the 10. I think they're an 11, possibly 12-win football team. I believe that strongly in this team offensively and defensively, and we saw Darrisaw back at practice as well. That's going to benefit the offensive line in terms of depth. I think they cover this game fairly easy. 3 points. I know it's Joe Burrow. I know it's the Cincinnati Bengals, and they started fast last year, but I just think this is a different animal with Minnesota. I think they're locked and ready. I think they cover this game double digits, 10 points or more on the road in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, I think Minnesota wins the game. As far as them winning 12 games on the season, I think once again, you have a drug test tomorrow morning in your future. I don't see that happening. They're not that kind
of
team. I
had a bagel with poppy seeds.
Oh, you're screwed. You're screwed. I never understood. That always bothered me. Kids, but not eat a bagel with poppy seeds. A day for a drug test. You're going to get nailed for heroin. But we all did it. I didn't have any poppy seeds anyway because it gets stuck in your teeth. But, yeah, I think Minnesota's a good team. I think they're a playoff team. I wouldn't shock if they win the division. I don't think they're a great team, though. I just think Chicago's – I think we have some issues. Detroit is terrible. I still think Green Bay wins that division, but I wouldn't be overly shocked here. But I don't see them winning 12 games. I don't think they're that kind of team.
All right. Well, here's a game that's now amped up a notch. You know, we always talk about kick it up a notch like Emeril Lagasse, right? Love watching Emeril cook. Bam! Well, how about this matchup? Mac Jones named the starter. Cam Newton released. Now you have a duel, right? You have second-year pro Tua going on the road to face his former teammate, Mac Jones, both Alabama quarterbacks. Mac Jones fresh off a dominating effort over Ohio State and Justin Fields, right? A Joe Burrow type of season. 41 touchdown passes, 76 completion percentage last year. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable, this matchup. Miami, a 3-point road dog on the road in New England, plus 104 on FanDuel. All of the money coming in, at least FanDuel believes New England is a significant favorite with Bill Belichick. They're minus 125 if you want to lay the 3 points, minus 178 on the money line. Total, a little low, 43.5 at minus 110 either way. You know, I got to go with Brian Flores here. I love Mac Jones. I'm going to take the 3 points. Miami is my team, but I'm looking at this objectively. I think Flores will have a solid defensive game plan in place, force Mac Jones to read coverage, and I don't know if New England can run the football on that front seven of Miami.
Now, I am not a Miami fan, but I agree with you. All right, I agree. I think Miami... We don't give Miami enough credit. Their defense is good.
It's not elite, but they're like bend but don't break, right?
I would give them better than bend but don't break. I would give them better than that. But fine. You want to say they're bend? That's fine as well. But I think they're better than that. I think we don't give enough credit. And I think they will make life a little difficult for Mac Jones, especially when you have no one to throw the ball to. All right, their weapons are terrible. Nelson Aguilar is your number one. Hunter Henry, listen, I like Hunter Henry and Janu Smith, but they're good tight ends. They're far from great. You know, and Hunter Henry's going to be banged up anyway. So I think they're going to have their issues as far as against the Miami defense. I think this is a slog fest. I think it's what New England wants to play most weeks. They want to play slog games, 21-17, 17-14, 27, something like that. You know, that's what they have to do to win here. But I think Miami's the victor here in the end. That being said, I am not betting it. I'll take the under, but I am not betting the game.
Okay, well, let's look at it a different way. If you're not going to bet it in terms of a side or a total, right, even though you like the under, let's look at the quarterbacks and some props. You have Mac Jones, 219.5, minus 114 either way. You have Tua, 228.5, minus 114 either way. If you're asking me right here, right now, I'm taking the under on Mac Jones. I lean to the over on Tua, but like you said, this could be a 10-7 type of game or 13-10 heading into the fourth quarter. It might be very difficult for both offenses to generate drives here. It might be defenses on both sides of the ball here. That's the way I'm looking at it. I think if we're looking from maybe a value perspective, any touchdown scorer on FanDuel, there's two guys I like from Miami. Gaskin at plus 170, because I think if they're inside the goal line or inside at least a 10, Gaskin will get some opportunities. And then Gesicki at plus 195. Tua does like him in terms of red zone opportunities for Miami.
Interesting. Not taking that either. Not enough scoring for me to bet on one of those guys to score. Because I think you said 10-7 is probably on the low end, but it's not that far off. 17-14, which is maybe one more touchdown. I'm not going to bet that I get the right guy to go there. So I'm not touching that. But it's going to be a low-scoring slog fest.
Ooh. Okay, when we come back, we'll be breaking down Denver, New York, Green Bay, New Orleans, and the battle in L.A., Bears and Rams. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
Sports SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through the NFL Week 1 action. We just talked about that battle in New England between the Dolphins and Patriots. Going to look in East Rutherford, our neck of the woods. The Giants right now, 3-point underdogs to the Denver Broncos and Vic Fangio. When was the last time Vic Fangio was basically a favorite? That's what I want to know, because he's still trying to reinvent offense. He's still like the Flintstones with the rock wheel. It's like, hey, Vic, let's wake up, buddy. We have Teslas. We have electric cars. Let's wake up to the new regime here in terms of pro football, but he's still trying to figure it out. That being said, they're a 3-point favorite on FanDuel at plus 100 over the Giants. I like this game when they were 1.5-point favorites. It bounced around. They were actually 1.5-point dogs at one point earlier in the preseason. The Giants slipped there. I think that was before Galladay went down and some other key players. And then after Teddy B became named the starter, it really has firmed up at minus 3. But the total, George, 41.5. This game I actually thought was a 1 o'clock kick. It's actually the late kick, which scares me. Now, primetime 4:26 kick on Sunday. I'm still going to go with Denver. I love Denver in this matchup, but I tell you what, this line opened up at 43.5. This is one of the overs I really like here. I think this game sails through the total of 41.5. Keep in mind that New York last year, I believe their last 7 games trended to the under with Joe Judge.
Yeah, I think the Giants, I think they're another team. So with the Cowboys there, slow start. Slow start because everything that could go wrong in training camp pretty much went wrong, right? I mean, Galladay, your new addition, barely shows there. Your first-round pick, Kadarius Toney, barely there. So Saquon Barkley is only now, getting touched in practice, getting taken to the ground here. So I think it's going to be a little slow go here. A little slow go for the Giants.
You think we see the same type of offense that we saw last year, that conservative type of approach to work on the defense and keep you in games? You don't think that even though the players are a little banged up, you don't think that Joe Judge says, you know what, we need this offense to be clicking. Let's try to get Jones into a rhythm?
I don't think they'll be able to. That's the problem. They haven't worked together enough. I also don't think Denver's going to force you to play that kind of game, because they're going to play a similar type of game with Teddy Bridgewater. Denver's defense is good, right? Top 8 in the NFL. So they're not going to look to open things up here. They're not going to feel they need to have to. But Giants defense is better than we give them credit for. Very good secondary.
Yeah, they do. You're right. Jabril Peppers and that crew stepped up last year.
They did. I mean, that's a good secondary there. If they can get some pass rush here, they can cause some problems here. So I think this game is going – I think it's going to go over, mind you. I don't know about sail over. That's where I'll stop at the sail over. But I do think it goes over. Well, because I think most games go over here. But I do think this is a slower start for the Giants, where they're going to miss some – just to be a little off on offense. Like I said with the Cowboys, same sort of thing. When you don't work together, it's football. It's not baseball. Just take some swings, get up there. Individual game. Football's a team game. I don't quite think they're ready. They're on offensive line. They're worried about Andrew Thomas on the right side. He's going to be a turnstile. He was terrible against the New England Patriots in the last preseason game. We'll see here. I think this is a very interesting game. And by the way, if you're living in the New York area, we're getting double headers on the local channels for both 1 and 4. A big time rarity, but we're getting that on Sunday. Yay. But I think it's going to be an interestingly good game. But give me the Broncos.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. If you're Vic Fangio, you're that offensive staff, you have the guy that you want at quarterback, right? You have the guy that's not really going to turn the football over. He's not going to be a deer in the headlights. He's not going to wow you, But at the end of the day, he's going to get the football to the playmakers, right? You need to get the football to KJ Hamler. You need to have Noah Fant mismatched on linebackers and nickelbacks. You need to get Jerry Jeudy involved. This run on first down, run on second down, throw on third down is not going to cut it, especially if you back Denver over the 8.5 win total on FanDuel. And more importantly, if Vic Fangio wants to save his job and this team is a playoff contender, they need to kick it into gear. He cannot play this old school leather helmet type of football. Not going to get you anywhere. Then why did you put Teddy Bridgewater in there? I mean, at the end of the day, you have Bridgewater as your starter to push tempo to some degree because he is more consistent than Drew Lock. No?
Well, I think they went with Teddy Bridgewater because you said it consistent and he won't make the mistake. Conservative is really what he is here. He's not going to make that big error. You know, where Drew Lock would probably force the ball more down the field more. That could be good, of course, but it also leads to interceptions, turnovers, when he's forcing the ball. So I think that's why they went with Bridgewater. I think it's also because they think, you know what? Schedule's not too tough to start the season. We have a good offense and a good defense. We're not Kansas City, but we're not that far off either. If we don't make mistakes, we can win a majority of these ball games.
Yeah. We'll see how that game plays out. That's a 427 kick. George and I are both on Denver in that matchup, like the over 41.5 in that ball game. This game is played on a neutral field, right? In Jacksonville, Green Bay, and New Orleans now. Green Bay, a 3.5-point favorite, -113 on FanDuel. Total set of 49.5. Jameis Winston came out and said he's going to take on the people of New Orleans in this game. He's going to be the role model. He's going to step up, lead this team to victory. I don't know if I buy that. That being said, I mean, this line now has moved over the critical number of 3. I'm not sold on New Orleans. I wasn't sold on New Orleans prior to Jameis. I wasn't sold on New Orleans after the hurricane, and I'm still not sold on New Orleans now. I think they're well under their 9 win total. This game, though, is tricky. I would say I would take the points with New Orleans because I do feel they step up, make it a close game. They lose maybe by a field goal. I hate to say that. But under, I think, is the way to go, under 49.5 in this matchup.
I would agree with you.
Oh, boy. Listen, this is scary.
Yeah, we're agreeing too much here. I think Green Bay wins the game. But New Orleans chose to play this game in Jacksonville. The NFL was allowing them, okay, where do you want to play? You know, they could have played in Dallas. The reason why they chose Jacksonville is Aaron Rodgers' record in Florida, not so good. So his record in Dallas is actually very good. So I guess I get the theory there that he won't play
as
well.
Is that why they really did that?
That's one of the reasons. I don't know if it's the main reason, but it's one of the reasons that came out because Aaron Rodgers' record in Florida, I think it's like 3-4, doesn't play well in heat, that sort of thing. Where in the play in Dallas, which is kind of silly. I mean, he just played the Cowboys. Yes, he had something against, on the Cowboys. You know, I think I would have rather still played in Texas, but maybe they want a slower track. Don't play any on turf.
I think that could be it, too. The slower track in Jacksonville.
So it could be a number of things there. But I just found that interesting that you played there. I would have thought Dallas only because it's closer to your home base. At least I think it's closer. I'm not a geography major, but I'm pretty sure it's closer. So whatever. But I just thought that was interesting. There's a lot of things I'm interested in this game. I want to see Jameis Winston, see what he looks like. I think he can be a good quarterback again. Well, maybe not again, but I think he'd be a good quarterback. Not great, but good. The problem is, once again, not much in the way of weapons here until Michael Thomas returns. I mean, yeah, in that preseason game, those receivers were pulling down catches like we couldn't. I know I couldn't believe it. Man, it's like, oh my God, it was one highlight catch after the next highlight catch. Can they do it when it matters? You know, can Kamara be? I think Kamara's a great player, but if I'm Green Bay, everybody and their mother's covering Kamara. Everybody, I'm forcing Winston to hit. You know, go hit Callaway. Go hit Troutman, assuming he plays. You know, make these guys beat me. These unknown guys beat me. Tre'Quan Smith, Lil Jordan Humphrey, Deontay Harris. You know,
I like Lil Jordan Humphrey. He's my guy. I still think he's the best wide receiver on that team right now with Thomas out. I know Callaway has been putting up numbers, but to me, Lil Jordan Humphrey, you get him mismatched on a smaller defensive back, he'll make you pay.
I won't argue with that. It's great. Still, I'm making him beat me. Well, I'm making any of these guys beat me. I'm not losing to Kamara. That's what I'm trying to say. Kamara, if I'm the Packers, I am not losing on Sunday because Alvin Kamara beat me.
Well, let's talk about Kamara in terms of a deeper dive here in terms of the player props. Because when you look at these player props, I mean, I'll go through it right now. Winston, 259.5. These are minus 114 every way, right? So you take the over, you take the under, you're laying out 114 on FanDuel. So Jameis set at 259.5. You have Rodgers very high, even though he doesn't play well in Florida, 279 and a hook. In terms of his passing total, Kamara rushing 57.5, and then his receiving, he's actually the highest receiver for New Orleans, okay, 46.5 in terms of his receiving total. They don't even have Callaway listed, no Lil Jordan Humphrey, nobody for New Orleans outside of Kamara. So what do you think about that? I think under for his rushing, because I don't know if he's going to be able to pound the rock. But over for receiving at 46.5 seems appealing to me.
There's a couple of bets I want to have on Kamara, and I'm looking him up now. I did not before the show. I absolutely agree with you about the receiving yards totals. I'm going to like that. I'm looking if they have his number of receptions. I want to see that because I think he's going to get a bunch of receptions. I think they believe so as well, but I want to see where FanDuel placed the number. And I can't find it yet, but I will find it at some point. So I want to see that. And I also want to see his total yards. Did they just add up what they had for rushing and receiving, which would be 104, 105? Because I think we might pass. Listen, I think what I'm trying to say is I think this offense has to go through Kamara. So he's going to get his rushing yards. He's going to get his passing yards. Right. I think it's easier to stop him as far as a rusher than it is as a passer. So I think it's going to be all Kamara all day. So there'll be a lot of props I'm going to have on Kamara.
Okay, here's a guy that I think could be an intricate part of this offense, and we know about Devontae Adams and his relationship with Aaron Rodgers, right? Tanyan is a very underrated star, especially in games that matter, right? He seems to find him multiple times in terms of mismatches. They have Tanyan right now, 29.5 in terms of his receiving total, which I think is light. He's an athletic tight end. He's more of that Travis Kelce type of body, right? He's not a Gronk guy in terms of that big, bulky type of extra lineman type of player, right? You could get Tanyan out on coverage. He can make a big play. One catch, he could go 30, 35 yards.
All right. Now, one thing we got to keep in mind about Tanyan. Sort of came out of nowhere last year to have a very good season, but he wasn't a big-time yardage guy. He was a touchdown guy. Only had 586 yards last year.
That's a lot, though.
But he had 11. He had 11. That's 10 yards, and it's not all that great. Divide that by 16. We'll do my little math here. He was a big-time touchdown guy. He caught a lot of touches, which is really what got him on the board.
36.5.
Right. That's not all that great. So think about that. 36.5. You know, he didn't have 36 every game. He had some games where he had 60, which means he had a lot of games where he had 18.
Right.
So that's the issue there. New Orleans is a good defense, really good defense. It's what's going to keep them in a lot of games this season. So I would worry a little bit about Tanyan. That being said, all reports are he had a great, great camp, right? He's looking good. Rodgers loves him here. So I get it here. But for that total, by the way, last year, he would have only hit it once in his last six games.
Ooh.
That's it.
All right. Well, that's good to
once
know.
Once in
Here's
his last
what I
six.
Look at. Well, DeMario Davis is the spearhead for that defense. He is, I'm telling you, this guy, the Jets made a huge mistake getting rid of him from Arkansas
Agreed.
State. For unbelievable in terms of this guy's intensity. He's always around the football, gets pressure up the middle. He's going to be the key factor whether New Orleans wins this game. Because if he could generate pressure up the gut on Aaron Rodgers and force those short to intermediate throws, I think New Orleans has a shot. Now, the reason why I happen to like Tanyan is because we know about the problems in the secondary. If you're New Orleans, you want to take away Devontae Adams, right? Anybody but Devontae Adams cannot beat us in this game. Devontae Adams on FanDuel set at 87.5 receiving yards. That's why I think Aaron Rodgers does turn to Rob Tanyan and some of the other playmakers in that offense, maybe even Aaron Jones. When we come back, we'll be wrapping it up right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we've been going through all the week one rotations. Going to talk about the Sunday night game. Chicago now 7.5-point underdogs to the LA Rams, minus 110 either way on FanDuel. This total is a little low as well, 46.5, George. These teams played last year. The Rams did dominate this ball game. We know that Andy Dalton's going to start. I can't see any way the Bears step up. I'm not a believer of Khalil Mack. I think he's on his downward trajectory here. I think he's going the other way. People can argue. I really don't care. I think the physicality of the offense and defensive lines for LA is the difference. I think they win this ball game by 14 points or more.
I can't believe this is the Sunday night game. Really? I got to watch the Bears and Andy Dalton. Are you kidding me?
First of all, I think it's going to look ugly on the screen. That's how, I mean, those Bear away uniforms.
I just don't, why? Why are we getting this game as the Sunday night game? This game's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a colossal blowout for the Rams. So I'm with you there. 14 points, 17 points, whatever. All right. I'm hoping they just don't want to feed fields to the Rams here. And that's why there'll be no silence of the Rams on Sunday night. This is going to be a colossal blowout that I barely even want to watch.
If they let's say they keep it close. Let's just say it's a 4-point game. They lose the Bears. Or somehow they win. I mean, Andy Dalton's going to be the starter for the whole year. I mean, based off this week one performance. I mean, is that how we're going to gauge?
Three weeks at most. I think it's three weeks. They play Cincinnati next week. So once again, I can see them being stupid again. And, he used to play there, blah, 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 giving them that. And then they play Cleveland, interstate tough game against the Browns, who most of us think are very good. I could see that, too. I think Fields should be starting Sunday.
We'll be here every day breaking down the week one card. We'll see you tomorrow for George Kurtz. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. When we come back tomorrow, best bets and more player props. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.